You are listening to the Massive Report podcast.
Welcome to the Massive Report podcast. I am not Brian Phillips. Brian is missing today. We miss him already, and we've just started, but we needed to get in to record because we have a lot to talk about. There was a crew
allegedly.
Game. Yeah, there was a crew game this weekend, and we will get to that. But we're going to talk about the new DP signing that should be announced here early this week officially. But we know we reported along with a number of other outlets today. It's a done deal. But yeah, we're here. We've got Bart Logan being one of the regulars, but we've brought in Thomas Costello, who had our story on the site about one Cucho Hernandez, and then we brought in Ralph Schudel because we wanted somebody to be silly or say something that would piss people off or something like that. And of course, Sam's here. We are at 3rd in Michigan at Saucy Brewworks, where great beer, great pizza, all that stuff. And Saturday night, the Real Salt Lake game. They will be showing that here as a watch party. Mm. So if you're looking for something to do late Saturday night, that's this will be a good spot. We recommend it if you haven't checked it out.
And they have coffee, too. 10 o'clock kickoff.
There you go.
Columbus Crew after dark.
And let's talk about it, Pat. QR codes at the table. So you don't even have to get your butt up.
And they kind of double as koozies as well.
Yeah.
Or coasters.
Coasters, yeah.
Sturdy material, yeah.
We're all about comfort here.
And preserving these nice wooden tables, you know?
Yeah, the coffee shop has been our friend now for the last 2 years as we record this, since we've been back in person. So we'll start with the Cucho Hernandez signing, which we can say is done. It'll be announced here early this week, maybe even as early as Tuesday. You may be listening to this after it's already been announced. So, boys, they've got their striker. It is, I guess, Taylor Twellman was right.
Mm-hmm.
He did play in the English Premier League. As we talked about on here, though, he is not currently an English Premier League striker because Watford got relegated.
Until June 30th. He's still technically.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right, but he is a guy. He's a guy that I actually, when I went back to look at the highlights, recognized he played against Manchester United this year, so I was pretty excited.
He scored against Arsenal.
He scored
twice. That's fine.
Yeah, we're all in agreement about that. I don't know actually who's Ralph's a fan of right now because it changes so frequently. So this is the DP striker. Bart, I want to ask you first, just your excitement level. You and I talked about it a little bit on Saturday at the game, but you're pretty juiced up for this, right?
Yeah, I think I'd like to give some credit to the Haslams, to Tim Bezbachenko, and I'd like to take some credit myself, because I really think, I may have said some things on, previous podcasts, maybe it was a bit dubious of a signing of this caliber coming through. But really, I'm gonna let people, in on kind of the sausage making of sports content like this.
Please
you sometimes take a stance that you don't really want to take, a contrarian one to generate conflict, because it really gets the people going. And so I always have the utmost confidence that they would pull off a signing of this caliber. I said, if there's anything, with the crew, that this is what you can count on. But in all seriousness, I mean, this signing, it just goes above and beyond, I think, anything anyone really could have expected. When we're talking and hearing crew would potentially be getting a Premier League striker, I thought, maybe a guy with 5 or 6 goals in a season, but a guy who's up with that on the other side of 30. And to get a player entering his prime, I'm astonished. I'm frankly, a little bit surprised, that an agent or the Colombian national team, would be kind of supportive of this decision for a league that seems like is a step down, obviously, from the Premier League. But I think this is a great coup for the crew. They're able to. There's a nice headline for y'all. I don't know if you grabbed it.
Coup for the crew. That's the title of this one. Yeah.
And I think, again, he's a player that I genuinely respect the ambition, even if he does not end up panning out, and I think he's going to. I mean, he seemed to have scored well at, you know, every other level, and you're going to get him, you know, coming into a good system in a league where he should is in a good position to excel. And look, if you keep him for 18 months and then sell him, you know, for twice that back to the Premier League, it's good business too. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, I had seen on social media, and I thought this was interesting. The Watford fans were pretty upset to see him go. And he'd only played really towards the end of the season and, you know, started to kind of come on, had a hamstring injury, I think, that limited him a little bit. But he's 23 years old. He is a guy that had gotten experience, as you mentioned, in the Premier League. And, you know, to hear another fan base of that level say, or to hear of, that they are disappointed to see him leave to go to, you know, anywhere, but especially an MLS team, I think is pretty good. Thomas, why don't you break down the details as we reported earlier today of what this signing is and kind of where it stands.
Now, in terms of where it stands for the Crew, it broke every record. This is the biggest signing they've ever made. It's between 10 and 10.5 million for up until 2025. So he's going to have a young DP deal, young designated player. I think is it Yao, another young DP on the team? Or I think that he fills up the second young DP slot. I know we have another one on the roster right now, but either way, that does give you a little bit of flexibility when it comes to how much money you can spend on the team, where you can allocate some funds elsewhere. But to get, like, to echo what Bart said, to get a Premier League striker like this, and he's done it, like you said, to second division in Spain, first division in Spain on a lot of loan deals. He's played with five different teams in 5 years. And he's
Yao is a U22 initially.
U22. But
I think he qualifies for this U22 that for the MLS designation, right? For salary purposes.
He is not. He is only a young DP.
Okay.
There was some confusion on that reporting earlier, but continue.
So you have that for 2.5 years. Once the visa's complete and all the paperwork's complete, he can start training at OHPC, and then once the transfer deadline hits, or the start of the transfer market, excuse me, on July 7th, he can play on July 9th, which poetically sets him up for a potential home debut against Cincinnati in mid-July, which is what I think a lot of... there's already excitement about it, having him join the team, but now having him potentially premiere against your rival makes it a little bit sweeter, especially if he can maybe do his first goal in Columbus during that match.
So this is a player, if I imagine all Crew fans have gone and done their research here, but he's a player, he's Colombian. He has one appearance with the Colombian national team, scored 2 goals in that friendly game, according to my Wikipedia research. Played at the U20 level as well, but played in Colombia and then went to Watford in 2017. Now, it took him a while to break in. I don't think he made his debut until 4 years into his time with Watford. He was on loan to Spain, three straight loans to different teams in Spain. Did well, a little bit in the Segunda Division, which is the second division in Spanish soccer, and then did make some La Liga appearances as well. So, I mean,
he helped them get promoted. I mean, he scored 17 goals and had 6 assists in that second division. So
yeah,
he helped them get up to the top division in Spain.
Yeah, and I think the one thing I know, I've seen some people, and there's always going to be naysayers, right? But I've seen some people on Twitter that are, you know, or on various social media platforms that, you know, well, his numbers aren't that great for Watford. And one, that's playing for Watford, which, let's, as much as we love MLS, there's a big difference there.
You have to extrapolate those goals a little bit.
Yeah. Also, he was mostly playing as a winger for Watford, which is not the role he is being brought in here to play. Now, the fact that you have fluidity maybe on your front three once he gets in here and gets playing, I think, is interesting. But, you know, they are looking at him to be the Joseph Martinez, to be the Raul Ruiz Diaz. Mm-hmm. I mean, and he fits that kind of profile. He's not a big guy, you know, in terms of a target striker, but he has a nose for goal. I mean, if you just go watch some of the goals he scored on YouTube, again, remember the level that he's playing at. And, you know, he has a bicycle kick goal. He has goals where he just makes the run at the right time, you know. Caleb Porter got some criticism earlier in this year for talking about neck tattoos and guys with the right hunger and stuff.
Hey, but he does have a neck tattoo.
He does have a neck tattoo. But
That's what was holding this up. That's what was holding this deal up. They needed to finalize the neck tattoo before Caleb was guaranteed that he'd get starts.
I think we need to capitalize and have Massive Report neck tattoos, and just as a promotional item.
So I'm just saying.
It's like
the temporary. Okay.
No, temporary tattoos.
No, permanent ones. It's like J.R. Smith has the Supreme tattoo. We need to get a player to permanently have their tattoo, the Massive Report.
Right. Well, you can put it wherever.
Room tattoo also, right?
Wherever it will be hidden by your shirt.
Great sponsor crossover opportunities.
Ralph, you haven't gotten a chance to say much here. So, I kind of want your reaction when you heard about this news. And obviously, this team has struggled to score goals. From what you've seen of Cucho, you know, how do you think this will pan out for the black and gold?
Hey, am I good with holding the mic here? Because I can't do this leaning over. So sorry, this is how we make it. This is how we make the sausage, as Bart says. But, you know, it's interesting because when I started hearing the rumors of Cucho, I was kind of sitting there going, who the heck's that guy? I wasn't really a big Watford guy. You know, I watched Liverpool in passing.
Who is a big Watford guy?
I don't know. Apparently a bunch of Crew fans, because it's come out on Twitter recently that a ton of people have been watching him a lot. So
The only thing I know about Watford is they have a dog paw on their jersey, and I'm kind of down for that.
They are also black and gold.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I like that.
Yeah.
But it's funny you guys were talking transfer fees and, you know, stuff like that, and it brings up a Sebastian Giovinco crossover, because I believe he was signed to Toronto probably somewhere between $5 million and $7 million, I think, back in the day, which I say back in the day, it was 2016, 2015, whatnot. But that's, you know, inflation's a pain in the butt, so it's probably about the same total as what we're seeing nowadays. I digress. But to put it in context, you know, we're talking about a five-goal scorer for Watford. Giovinco, in 93 appearances for Juventus from 2006 to 2015, only scored 14 goals for Juventus, which he came in and was an absolute wrecking ball for four seasons for Toronto and scored 68 goals and 114 caps. So, again, talking about that data extrapolation and what it might actually mean to a lower league. Sorry, guys, MLS is a lower league compared to the EPL. It could pay dividends for a team that we saw, especially on Saturday, that wasn't potent in scoring. They capitalized on some mess ups, but you definitely need somebody like this.
They pretty much haven't been potent for most of the year.
Yeah. Well, I know that, but
Eric Hurtado breakaways withstanding.
And one other thing too that I think is fascinating is that we're seeing MLS kind of become. I know it's still got the reputation of being a retirement league, because you've seen players like Giorgio Chiellini come over. You've seen Steven Gerrard in recent memory, Pirlo, Lampard.
Chicharito,
who has now found a second life, apparently. But I think it says something to the effect of, you had a player as well known as Carlos Vela come over. A lot of people regarded him in his prime that he was, you know, still had some years to give. I think that this might be something that we'll see younger players come over. And like you guys said, I often have thought of MLS like a real estate market. Is you get these younger players in, you build them up, they have a great career, and then you ship them on their
flipping
way for a
houses.
Nice trip. Yeah, exactly.
Flipping houses.
Well, and it's kind of the Atlanta United model that they've done.
Yeah.
I mean, they've set the bar with spending. I was looking at the top transfer top transfers in MLS. I think the top three are all Atlanta United players.
Mm. Almiron's up there.
Yep. Not even.
Rocco, right?
Thiago Almeida. Gonzalo
Franco
Martinez
or Barco or whatever.
And Barco, yeah, are the top three in MLS history. And then Brenner from FC Cincinnati.
Yeah, Brenner.
Interesting. But so this ranks in the top 10, which, you know, there's been a lot of crap given to the Haslams, especially given what they're spending up in Cleveland on a player. And, you know, I think to Bart's point at the beginning of this, you know, this is what you wanted to see out of this ownership group. You know, it wasn't a name guy like some of those names Ralph mentioned that's older and whatnot. This is a guy that they can potentially, as you said, Bart, flip. Or if he continues to play well and falls in love with Columbus, you know, Joseph Martinez they've turned down offers because he wants to stay. Raul Ruiz Diaz wants to stay in Seattle. You know, we'll see what happens. He's a bit younger than those guys, but, you know, if he lights this league up, I imagine he may want to go elsewhere and prove himself at a higher level. Yeah. But you never know. So this could be really good business.
And what's great about that too is if you know if they are able to go and flip him, that's something that other players are going to see, and that can become, and that's the sort of model that you want to be, I think, as a franchise. That's what Atlanta's striving for. You know, they did get good money from Miguel Almirón to Newcastle. I somewhat maybe regret that in hindsight, but he's been all right. But again, if you see that, that may creates the template for other young players to follow. And that's what you want to see with the Crew, I think. I don't want to see them signing washed-up guys. You know, you want to see good players that are trying their hardest and, you know, to produce, to win. And that's what I think you're going to get, because he wants those eyes on him on Apple Plus or whatever it may be. But this is really, really just way exceeding expectations.
And if we...
Oh, no, it's just kind of piggyback on it, showing the league's growth. And you were talking about a little bit with bringing younger players. But it used to be, okay, the way to get people in seats was bring over this person, bring over Steven Gerrard, and then you had opposing teams advertising the other team's old stars just to get you in the seats. But now in Columbus you have a stadium that's bringing more people out, and now it has, like, if we put money into it and we win, people will continue to come out, because you're not going to come out for a losing product over, you know, once the luster of the new stadium starts to lose its shine a little
bit. You kind of took me right where I wanted to go. We've heard all season, we've seen it too, but we've heard from Caleb that, you know, this team needs to be scoring more goals, and the goals need to come primarily from the striker position. And, you know, we saw the struggle on Saturday, and we'll get into that game here in a few minutes, but this, in your mind, does this solve the problem? Is this a guy who can put the ball in the back of the net enough to get this team back above the playoff line, back into the playoffs, and be the contender we kind of thought they'd be? Is he, you know, we talked about the money, we talked about the ambition of it, but, like, is this going to work, do you think?
I think getting into the playoffs, I think you get into the – if you don't get in the playoffs this year after signing him, that's a really bad season. But putting him back at the top, that really depends on the guys around him, because you still have a revolving door at the winger position. I know Etienne started strong, and he's still having a career year, but you have Diaz and you have Yeboah, and now Molino is back, and – you don't know which pairing you're going to use at winger. Yao has a rough start. He comes on strong. He gets hurt. And so if Lucas gets healthy and he's back to where he was before that Red Bulls injury, I think if you have healthy people around him, yes, you could compete at the top. But I don't know. I'm kind of waiting and seeing. But I think at least playoffs is the minimum.
I think you have to, you know, It's hard to judge too much, but I don't think you can blame at this point, you know, wingers for him not producing, because you've got a talent like Lucas Zelarayán. You know, you've got a strong midfield. And there's not a lot of other MLS teams that are able to match us depth-wise, Columbus. So I do think, you know, it may take some time to adjust, but I think – you know, I think he should be able to produce, and I do think missing the playoffs at this point, it's absolutely, it'd be a huge disappointment, huge letdown for Columbus. I think you've got to give this, you know, you have to give him, though, at least as much. I mean, obviously, you've invested the money, you're going to give him the time, but this is a player who's younger than Miguel Berry.
Right.
So we all talk about Miguel Berry like he's a kid. He's 24 years old. Cujo's 23. So it is going to take a little bit of adjustment, but he's got the pedigree. I feel like it's going to get it done.
I think of things from Colombia that are good. Coffee being one. Shakira being two. And Cucho being three.
You're going to make a lot of pink blood. Thank you, Ralph. We needed someone to say something to make people angry.
But I think Cucho is just the Colombian translation for coffee, a little spark plug there. You know, he's going to be running all over the field. You know, in all seriousness, let's bring it around here. Full circle.
You're the one who took it out.
I did. So I'm gonna bring it right back again. You know,
turn that car around.
You know, I think anything's better than what we've had right now. And this offense has needed kind of a shock. And I think Cucho is going to be able to do something like that. You even kind of saw it too, and I know Pat said we'll talk about it for a second. You guys will make fun of me because I haven't really seen a Crew 2 game, but I've been following. I know what, you know, with Russell Rowe and Muhammad Farsi.
We're
and
making
all that.
Fun of you regardless.
I know, that's fine. But even with, you saw what those kids kind of coming in too. You got a little bit of a spark. It wasn't Kucha level style, but it was a different perspective, different, like, fresh blood. And I'll be interested to see somebody who has seen Premier League defenses that feature top level center backs or outside backs.
And Arsenals.
Yeah, and Arsenals of the world. You know, and soon to be Matt Turner just getting balls blasted by him too. But, you know, going against a Virgil van Dijk or going against a Harry Maguire or somebody of that caliber for defense, that changes you. So you're definitely going to be able to find space. And, you know, MLS has been said to be a little bit more of a physical league than the EPL. But, you know, you're going to learn how to dance around those guys, get into space, and hopefully put the ball in the back of the net.
Well, and just to kind of take people inside of things on, what was it, Friday at Caleb Porter's media availability. I've not seen Caleb in that good of a mood. And this is before anything's really out there. I mean, I know there was some rumblings about it and whatnot, but, you know, Caleb wasn't talking about it. He didn't even actually get asked about that.
Didn't he tell you right off the bat? No. Like you said right away, no.
Yeah, they go, you know, they hand me the mic to ask the question. I start to talk and he goes, no. And he, you know, just starts laughing. And, you know, it was seriously probably as good of a mood as he's been in since after MLS Cup. Mm-hmm. And you could just tell how excited he is for this. And this is a guy, you know, has certainly felt the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, especially this year. I think last year maybe he understood where he kind of stood or where he was with the injuries and whatnot. But, you know, I think he knows that this is a signing, or at least he believes that this is a signing that can really turn things around. And, you know, the more I watch MLS these days, you know, I think this is a difference-making. You know, you need that difference-maker. And Lucas can do it, but now you get two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think you mentioned Kevin Molino too, Thomas. If he can get going, maybe Yao comes on. I mean, this could go from being an attack that's been one of the worst in the league to potentially being very potent. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to oversell this, but when you're spending club record money, it's worked with Lucas. I'm going to trust that this scouting department, this, you know, group can do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's go to what didn't work as well, and that was the attack on Saturday. Caleb, with six guys that – there were nine guys on the injury report, six guys that didn't end up playing or weren't available because of injuries – had to change things up a little bit, went with a 3-5-2, which I thought was an interesting move given the players available. And I think it worked to varying degrees of success throughout the game. But again, you go back to, you've got to finish chances. They finished one, but they also gave up one, and there were other opportunities. Thomas, you covered it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of your takeaways from the match. Hurtado gets the goal off Barry pressuring, so it's good to see the forwards do that.
Yeah.
But then they give up a goal that it was probably normally pretty defendable, I would imagine.
Yeah. Talking about the game plan, Charlotte, this is their second match with a new coach, expansion team. They've kind of already had infighting since the club started. Right away, you could tell Charlotte's plan was, let's just sit back and see what they're going to do, because we don't know what they're going to do with nine people on the injury report. And that's what it looked like. The first half was ugly. That goal at the end of the half was what saved it from being a pretty rough to watch.
Steve Clark special.
Well, I'll give Barry credit on that one. He did pressure the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And that caused the goalkeeper to have that strong first touch. Eric was just in the right place at the right time. And, I mean,
As he's wont to do, Columbus Crew legend Eric Hurtado.
What was the expected goals on that? It had to be pretty high. But he converted. Yeah, the second half, though, that was tough. It was tough the coming out. They just didn't have really any sort of fire, any sort of the way Caleb put it in the post-match press conference was mentality was kind of weak coming out of the half. And what happens is they take a shot, Room saves it. He made two saves in the night, good saves, but it deflects off. But as soon as that first shot happened, no one on the Crew is moving. No one on the Crew is looking around. You mentioned earlier, Pat, Darlington's not tracking. anybody in the box. You have all three of your center backs. Now, Williams was with a Charlotte offensive attacker, so he was kind of bottled up. But you had Milos and Jaleel kind of standing around as the ball's going towards room. And after it deflects, the whole team is just kind of like, what are we going to do? And it was a pretty easy shot to convert. And from there, Charlotte was like, hey, we're back at 0-0, so let's go back to what we were doing and hang back and kind of see what happens. On the field, the chemistry, we talked about this earlier too, but you could tell they had not played together before, this group, because you had Milos moving up, and they did with their center backs where they kind of shifted up Jaleel or Milos into the attack a little bit, just to kind of give maybe Charlotte something extra to look at. But like Milos and Etienne, they did not see eye to eye on a lot of different stuff. I know Milos was calling for the ball once. Etienne ignored him. There was a pass, I think, Dagonek to Etienne. And then afterwards, Milos tries to talk to him. Etienne kind of just pushes him off a little bit or ignores him. It just seemed like there wasn't a lot of chemistry with the guys in the field.
They're not used to being that close to each other in the field.
Yeah, and you wrote today, Caleb also mentioned, if you had a Joan out there or Pedro Santos out there, and it's not because the performances were fine during the match, but the leadership of, hey, keeping your head up. Whenever that deflection's there, who's moving? Like, is anyone moving as that shot's being made? So
it turns out that having your starters on the field does indeed make a difference.
Interesting.
And I mean, frankly, you know, I included this in something I wrote, or I think it's in the What We Learned, which will come out tomorrow. You know, without Lucas Elrion, the Crew's 2-0-2 this year. I think one game he came off the bench for 19 minutes, so if he hasn't played more than 20 minutes, but like, you know, a guy like that in the attack in a game like this probably makes the difference. You know, when you're trying to push for a goal late in the game, he's a guy who can just do something. And you mentioned it on the defensive side as well. You know, it was just an ugly kind of game. I mean, you know, one team wanting to sit back, the other team not really knowing or not really feeling comfortable in this new formation.
After 2 weeks off, too. So
sure. Yeah,
there's a little rust.
Yeah. I was glad to see, though, they did something different. You know, I think last year we criticized Caleb, and rightfully so, for guys are hurt, but we're just going to keep doing the same thing. And it didn't work. Now, you had Lucas a lot last year, so you want him on the field, and there's only so many different things you can do with him. But, you know, I think the fact that he was willing to take a look and be like, all right, we have our three center backs. We don't have a left back, but Derek can play that position. Mm. How do we put this together? Those three central midfielders, again, Aiden Morris undefeated as a starter this year.
Yep.
You know, I thought it was an interesting way to do it. And, you know, if you just don't give up the goal, you get out with a 1-0 win, I think you feel really good about it, as opposed to coming out now feeling, you know, as Caleb put it, 2 points lost.
Yeah. And you had chances, too, even after that goal was given up. I mean, Igbekeme has a golden chance that he just tries to one-touch. He has space. He can take the ball and wait a second, maybe find somebody, maybe just gather his composure. And he skies out over the crossbar. You had some late in the match. Hurtado had another chance to score, didn't do it. It just seemed like at that point they were pushing so hard for another goal that maybe some of the, not just taking your time, but maybe you're trying to build up a little bit differently, or you're not trying to rush yourself into scoring something.
I mean, Josh had a good one too there in the last moment too. I know I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, GCG bag, but you know, that was a tough one. But talking about Aiden Morris,
how crazy would that have been though if Josh scores a winner in stoppage time?
I think the roof would have literally blown off in the stadium.
The security would have had to push people out of the building.
Speaking of Josh, they had a night at the Nordec the other night. I think it was last Thursday, and Josh and Evan Bush are the two bartenders that were there, and I mean, I almost felt bad for Evan Bush because, you know, people were getting beers from him and whatnot, but everyone wanted to go to Josh. Everyone wanted to get a picture. And people did with Evan.
They're both Northeast Ohio guys. You gotta show some love.
And I mean, I guess, you know, he's been a backup goalie now for a little bit, so he knows that role. It was good to see him out there, but yeah, it was just funny that, you know, so many people were just gravitating towards Josh. Sorry, Ralph, I just thought that was
fine. You're fine. I was texting people as you were discussing. anyway, going back to Aiden Morris, undefeated champion in the midfield, that boy is a man. and there's no better way to say that. And I think I was talking to Sam too. I was gushing about James Igbikeme on Saturday. I think that that guy is he's a stud. I put a picture on there and I said he doesn't skip leg day, which he definitely does not skip leg day. Hi, Mom. Mom's trying to call me. Yeah, Mom's trying to call me right now. It looks like it was a butt dial. But anywho, she loves me. Stop it. Everybody out there,
did you just say something about your mom's butt on air?
Anyway.
Your mom is a nice lady. Don't talk about
your mom tweeted that James doesn't skip leg day.
She might like James McKenna. She told me Caleb was good looking, too, at one point. But we'll get into that. That's Massive Report After Dark. But, you know, so Aiden and James, very good. Hurtado, passable. Not great. But best of a bad situation right now. Miguel Berry, though, I don't know what is going on between that poor young man's gray matter right now. I mean, he is not doing too hot. I kind of commented, too, and Thomas did a nice job tonight. Might be stealing his thunder a little bit on the post-game recap, a bit of, you know, he was making the same run as a lot of his teammates were. He was kind of intercepting balls that weren't,
overthinking it. Yeah.
It wasn't intended for him or whatnot. He's a good kid. I saw some people on social media talk about his loan to where's Landon Donovan coaching out
San Diego. Diego.
Loyal.
So yeah. When he went to San Diego, they were saying it seemed like, you know, maybe Landon Donovan got in his ear and taught him how to have a striker's presence and be.
I don't think Landon Donovan's doing a lot of coaching, from my understanding out there. Yeah. But maybe he did.
It's like a Joe Paterno thing where he's just like, this is our coach. Da, 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 da. But, you know, shout out John Kempen. I think he's out there again, too. Anyway,
he's at D.C.
No, he got loaned to San Diego.
Again?
Yeah, again.
I think he got back. They brought him back.
Oh, okay.
He played against the Crew this year. That's
he
why.
Did, yeah.
But,
not
you know,
a great performance from our guy, John Kempen.
And that, and Sam's going to make fun of me, but I'm going to say it again for, like, the fourth year in a row. I think Miguel's got the yips, which my friends that are Ted Lasso fans understand you can't say that word in the world of soccer. But he's a little bit gun-shy. But other than that, I mean, I think I liked the different look, like you guys said. I had to remind myself that, Miloš Deganek's 20 yards out from the penalty, or 2 yards out of the penalty area right now. What's he doing up here this high? But and then can I give a shout out to Jaleel Anibaba? Like, for not playing all that much, dude can ball. Like, he did really well in his role. He was very serviceable and did okay. I think the whole defense is kind of is at fault for not sliding over and allowing that Charlotte goal. But I think Jaleel Anibaba needs a little bit of a shout out because we didn't know much about him outside of preseason, and to get some good considerable minutes in this game, he did really well.
And also too about the Berry piece, after the match, we finally moved to in the locker room after meeting with Caleb in the press conference area.
Praise be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After
praise be.
Like, after he's already, he's about ready to leave, and he still looks
put
angry.
Your phone on vibrate, Ralph.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you got to take this one.
What are you, a professional?
Mm-hmm. But he still looked really frustrated. He looked a little bit angry, and I think that's partly because of the performances that we've seen this year. Also, knowing that your number's kind of up in that starting role.
We look at, with this game, he actually surpassed his total amount of minutes played last year.
Right.
Has 892, 840 last year. And again, we know the stats, but it's worth reiterating. 8 goals and 2 assists in 840 minutes last year. This is the one that I think is most telling. He managed 27 shots in, again, coming as a player off the bench.
He didn't start
in all
most
that
of
time,
those, yeah.
And 17 on target. This year, 20 shots, 4 on target.
Yeah. That's
and
tough.
His first goal was a deflected goal that probably doesn't go in if it doesn't take a deflection. And I don't want, because I think, you know, it's unfair to pile on him. I mean, he's a professional player, and that's what we do, I guess. But I guess my question is, we know when Cucho gets here that these guys are going to the bench.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Is Miguel Berry this team's third forward if he continues to play? I mean, you know, this is a guy who came in as the starting forward and could come July 9th, maybe not even be on the bench for that game in Chicago if Cucho and if
Hurtado.
Eric Hurtado is still scoring or at least, you know, performing him. It's crazy to think about. You know, is that what – I mean, right now these guys are playing for the right to be the backup, and we need to see more from Miguel Berry, right?
He can realistically be down in crew too.
Yeah, I
to
mean,
get minutes.
The only thing with that is the loaning stuff is weird. I don't know how many times. I assume you can go down to crew two as many times as you want because Alex Maton's been down there.
It's going up that's the issue, but going down I don't think is as much of an issue.
So, yeah, I mean, the problem is crew two are scoring goals in bunches, so are you going to mess that up?
Yeah, yeah. I think you do not right now have the luxury of, especially, we've got to see how these next, what, three games go. But if it continues at least trending this way, you don't have the luxury of saying, you know, Miguel Berry, let's see if you can work it out right now. You are as many games. The fortunate thing is that the Eastern Conference is pretty tight and crew have games in hand.
Right.
But they're still as many points away from last place as they are from the last playoff spot. So again, that shows how tight it is, but that you need to win games right now. You cannot afford to say, Miguel, look, you're now in the back, and maybe, you know, him sitting out and not even making the 18 is something that, you know, lights that fire. You need to find, I mean, I'm at this point, you just throw something against the wall. If benching him maybe does it and switches things up, maybe that's it. But I don't think if Eric Hurtado scores another goal over this next span of games, and Miguel Berry doesn't, I don't think there's any way you can justify McGarry on the or McGarry. McGarry, just one that.
Well, and especially when everyone's healthy.
Yeah. Right. And what's even worse is that you don't have any additional competitions to play him in. So there's no Open Cup, there's no Champions League, there's none of that. Mm. There's no summer friendly that we're aware of. You know, so you don't have any place to put him.
Yeah.
So really, realistically, the only place is you either send him to Crew 2 if you want him to try to work on something or develop something, or you're going to loan him out somewhere else in USL maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think about that too. I'm thinking about this a lot, about Hurtado or Berry, and I think this year, yeah, you're going to see how Cucho plays. I think that's going to determine where you're going to be in the future because contract-wise, at the end of the season, Barry's going to be cheaper than Hurtado is just from the years of service and the veteran minimums and the contracts that way. And if Cucho's playing out of his mind, do you keep Berry and think, okay, in 2021 he came off the bench and that's when he was best.
Can
he get back to that? And can you get that less? Can you get something for a Hurtado if you bring him in and try to get rid of him?
And to your point, is Miguel willing to go back to that role? Because as Bart pointed out, he's a year older than Cucho, and, you know, 24 is not old, but it's certainly not young at this point. You know, if I'm him, I want to be playing regularly. Now, I think he has to recognize where he stands in this and the fact that the numbers don't back it up.
Yeah.
But, you know, is he willing to take on that guy coming off the bench playing 20, 30 minutes most games? And, you know, that's going to be something he alone can answer. But let me ask you this, Bart, you sort of alluded to it, where they stand in the standings. There are, what, three games, you said, before Cucho can play?
So.
Yeah, three games. You got RSL, you got Toronto, and you've got Philadelphia. Two of those are on the road. They get to RSL, but I don't think they've lost at home this year.
No.
And then you've got Chicago on the road is the first game Cucho is eligible to play with the transfer window opening. These three games, how much stock are you putting into the results of these games before you get your striker in, and you know you hope that then the goals start happening? I mean,
I'm still putting it. They don't have, you know, especially, I guess what it depends on is health for the other players.
Sure.
You know, if Lucas remains out, if Pedro Santos remains out, I know Artur's got the hairline fracture. I have a hard time believing there's no reason to rush him back, at least.
Especially with Morris there, you don't need to.
Exactly. I mean, although, again, I'm not trying to say they don't need to win, because they do need to win these games, but I put the stock more so in who is available. And if you've got a Lucas Zelarayán available and, you get Santos back, and these are games that you should be getting at least points out of. You need all the points that you can. You've got the games in hand, and that is an advantage to have down the stretch of the season, but you're still, you know, far enough out that you need to start winning games.
And they will play a number of home games the second half of the season. So they do have that a little bit on their belt. But I agree. I think, you know, while I think this, we've said this before, the clock really starts on how you're going to judge this season and Caleb Porter when this, when the striker, and now we know who it is, gets in. I think also you don't want to put yourself too far behind the eight ball like they did last year.
Yeah.
You hear that, Twitter? It's not over three matches into the season. We can't go with that Porter out nonsense. Get on your Twitter machine, tweet me your hate, stop it with the Porter out nonsense.
I think against we're going to talk about predictions later, but I think it's RSL. That's going to be a steep hill to climb. I think if you're trying to bring folks back from injury, I think maybe Toronto seems like a better bet. Bring guys in as a substitute. See if you can get guys to play. And then Philadelphia Toronto, should be, let's get back to...
Toronto's a midweek game too, so you're playing
quick. Yeah, right,
exactly.
So you don't want to... You're not. If you play some of these guys come off injury this weekend, they're not playing against Toronto. And I think if you're going away from Columbus, playing a team that 6-0-1 in Salt Lake, they have more points than anybody in the Eastern Conference. They're in second place in the Supporter Shield standings. It's hard to try to throw everything at Real Salt Lake on this weekend. And then, again, Philadelphia. I think Philadelphia should be your, okay, let's get back to what we were before these injuries. Let's get prepared for potential shot in the arm with Cucho coming in and try to pick up, you know, those games and pick up results from there.
So I think we've hit on most of the – well, the one other Crew thing I wanted to bring up was – and I think we sort of alluded to it, but Jason Russell Rowe, Mo Farsi, each making their first team debuts, their MLS debuts. You know, I don't think there's a ton to analyze from that. Both have played really well for Crew 2, and there's probably some other guys. Now, both have used one of their two games that they can play in, unless they want to sign for the first team. But pretty cool to see that this is working. You know, you at least have confidence, even when it takes a number of injuries, you at least have confidence to turn to those guys and say, all right, come in, let's see if you can help us get a win here late.
I thought they could do four games.
They can be called up four times. They can play twice.
Oh, okay.
Loaned up, technically. So, you know, I thought that was pretty cool and worth mentioning. The other big piece of...
They started for Crew 2 yesterday.
Yeah, the next day,
and,
yeah. Which I was a little surprised.
Jason Russell Rowe scored two, and Mo Farsi had two assists?
I think so.
Even Saturday night, I thought... I know Mo came on. They tried to bring him on with Jason Russell Rowe and Luis Diaz, but then I think the ref was like, no, you gotta wait. I don't know why they made him wait.
It was also, this is the silly thing about it, it was in the 86th minute. Just two guys making their debut at a game, and you're only giving them 7 minutes worth of playing time.
Because he only came in the 90th minute.
Right.
But I thought even Mo, I thought in those few minutes that he had, he played really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he slotted into a fullback position, and they kind of went back to a 4-2-3-1 at that moment. And Caleb talked post-game about how they used four different formations in that second half once a goal went in. And they were – I mean, I thought Mo did well. Jason Russell Rowe, he even – I think there was one point he thought he was offside. There was a ball coming in, and he just laid off.
He did, yeah.
But he thought he was offside, so I think he didn't try to go for it. I wasn't sure if he was offside, but you're going to have guys that are hungry.
Considering the referee crew Saturday, he could have not been offside, and it would have still been called offside.
That's very true. But I think if you have players that are motivated like them and they're performing, I know it's at the MLS Next Development League level, but, I mean, Colorado just played all of their first-team guys in MLS Next Pro and they lost. I mean, if you're bringing in Jason and Mo and they're able to play,
including Jossie Zardes.
Yeah,
but Jossie scored.
He did.
On a PK.
Was it a PK?
I think it was.
Yeah. But so still, he's only scored PKs in 2022?
No, the one with us and the one with the Crew in the regular season, I don't know for the team.
Did have the
was
one.
Yeah,
I was thinking
in Detroit he had
the penalty. The other piece of news before we get to a little more on RSL, not specifically Crew related, but Bart alluded to the Apple TV Plus deal that MLS announced. I assume everyone has caught up on this, but a big deal financially for the league. It's going to be Apple TV Plus. You won't need to have Apple TV to watch it. You'll be able to do it like you would any sort of, you know, ESPN Plus. You can get it on all those devices.
On smart TVs
and
stuff.
Exactly.
You don't need an Apple product.
This will be no blackouts. You will, if you're a season ticket holder, you will get it for free, which is pretty cool.
That makes too much sense.
Yeah, right? I think, you know, I don't know if that entices people to become season ticket holders, but at least it makes sure that the people that are season ticket holders are going to get to watch their team. And
if you're on the fence, it doesn't hurt, right?
Yeah, certainly. The league is going to produce all of these games, which means, in theory, they will be better quality. But the thing that I don't think has been put out there much is that the budget that the team has used over years for producing them now frees up. And there's potential for some other stuff. And I know the crew are already throwing around ideas of what could we do to kind of have our own content. If you think of like NFL teams, it's a similar model where they don't control, you know, you won't have home broadcasts anymore. So can we do some content online? Can we do something with something where we keep local stuff involved, have coverage that way? And, you know, I wrote something about how kind of the negatives of this are people are going to lose their jobs. The broadcast crews, they're only taking 10 to 14 crews. So, you know, there's more MLS teams than that. And so maybe they won't be calling games, but maybe there's opportunity in that way. MLS Next Pro and MLS Next, which is the academy level, will have some stuff on Apple TV too. So I guess there's some stuff there. The other thing that I'm a bit worried about is when you go to a non-crew specific bar and you want to have the game turned on, right now the only issue is if they don't have Bally Sports. But if they don't have Apple TV Plus and you're going to, you know, they have to subscribe, you know, I think that could be a little bit of a mess. But
what are they going to charge in bar prices? I know Premier League, yeah, you have to pay thousands a year to play these matches, yeah, at a bar. Yeah.
Yeah. So there, I think there are some pros and cons, but I do think that the pros of this are going to outweigh the cons. Yeah. And I think from talking to some people since come out there, there could be some creative ideas, like I said, with the local stuff, whether that be on the web or whatnot. You know, obviously, from our local perspective, we hope Neil, Jordan, Brett all end up somewhere. Now, the one thing that there is the opportunity of is you'll be able to, if you don't want to watch the broadcast crew on there, you can flip it and you'll be able to watch the radio feed, which we'll see how that times up and everything. But, you know, an interesting idea, so you can still keep a little local flair.
And I have real quick about the commentators, and then Ralph, sorry, real quick about them. I hope that these 10 to 14 folks that they bring in are actually brought in full time as full time employees, full time commentating, because on the NWSL side, the top women's domestic league in the United States, they don't pay full-time commentator. They do the same kind of thing. They have a batch of commentators. Jordan Angeli is one of them. But hearing how much they get paid per match on just like a freelance type of thing, I hope MLS actually pays these folks full-time so they actually invest in it. They research. They have that information.
Like the NFL.
Yeah, you don't want to
have... Now, that's a network doing it. Well, but the thing...
quite full-time.
Shout out to
but we love it.
I've watched a lot of WPSL matches, Bart, and the Eagles have the best commentating and production of any team that I've watched in the league.
So
the check's in the mail.
So it's interesting to me because Apple recently got the contract for Major League Baseball, too.
Yeah, and that's just one game a week, I think.
Yeah, like
so it's a little different.
People have talked about progressively. Go ahead, Sam.
They are trying to get NFL also, at least one of the games, like 1 week.
Yeah.
Of the
game. And I think Amazon outbid them for this year, but there is...
So the thing that's fascinating to me is I think this is where it's going to go. I think you're going to see the NFL there. I think you're going to see more sports pick up along different areas. I know we've got a big professional wrestling contingent. I'm going to talk to you guys for a second. I know that they're talking about, you know, Peacock's WWE, HBO Max's AEW. So you stick with the brands that you want. You subscribe to what you want. But suddenly being a cord cutter costs as much as having the cord. But bring it back again. Thomas, as I'm bringing us back on the track again. I'm with you, Murph. I think it's going to be the same commentators you see for, like, NFL games. You know how you have, like, Kevin Harlan and then, Joe
That's
Buck,
basketball.
Troy Aikman. I know, but I'm bringing it generalities there. I think you're going to see the same thing. What I hope for is that they don't do broadcasts from a remote location.
Yes.
Because...
Yeah. I think you might see that early on.
I think we're going to see it early on, and it does not work well for MLS Next Pro.
To be fair, most current MLS broadcast crews for away games, like Jordan and Neil, Brett does travel to do sideline, but Jordan and Neil are calling from a studio, watching it on a monitor, and you know, I don't think most people know that, you know, if you're not familiar with it all. But it is, you're right, it is a better product to do it in person.
But and it is the kind of, like, penny-pinching that it seems just absurd. I mean, when ultimately the cost of production, I know there are costs. It's not just having, you know, paying for Brett and, or Neil and Jordan, you know, for a hotel room a couple nights. But come on, it makes a difference.
I will defend this, though. I think Neil and Jordan do a nice job calling off of a monitor.
Yeah, they're pros.
But yeah, because they can read situations and they can go, you know, they can read the situation. Now, there are some commentators out there that go off of monitor and go, oh, he scored a goal. Like, dude, no, it's out of context.
Yeah,
we had one on
an MLS game a couple weeks ago when Crew were on Univision and the guy, after the rain delay, and the random guy that came on.
The guy was horrific.
All right, well, Sam is giving me the we need to wrap this up. So quickly hitting on Real Salt Lake and old friend Justin Merrim, who unfortunately this game's away, so we won't get to see him.
Bobby Wood.
Yeah, well, he didn't play for the Crew, so.
Well, we still love Bobby Wood.
He scored a goal against Germany in a friendly, right?
He did, the Bobby Wood game. So as we talked about earlier, Real Salt Lake in a good spot, second in the West, 28 points. They are 8-4-4, 6-0-1 at home, which is where the Crew will obviously be for this game. Bobby Wood, 3 goals in 14 appearances, Ralph. He is not their leading scorer, but Justin Merrim has 2 goals, 3 assists.
He's tied for their leading scorer.
He is tied.
Give him that respect.
You're right. He has just played 2 more games than one guy and 1 fewer than the other. But Justin Merrim's probably more interest to our fans. 2 goals, 3 assists, 15 games. Still kicking out there, Justin Merrim. We don't have a ton of time to talk about
Salt
Lake.
Bring him back again.
Third time. Has there ever been a player play for the club 3 times? I know Dante came back at least twice.
Dante came out of retirement once.
Jeff Cunningham?
Jeff Cunningham twice. Came back. He played twice. I guess, yeah, coming out of retirement for that, what was that, 1 game?
Yeah.
Or like 2 games?
It was against New England in the playoffs in 2003?
Was that when he wore 99, or did he wear a really weird number in that game?
I don't remember.
Anyway,
he wore 99
I think when he moved to Dallas, he wore 99 and then brought that back here. Because I think Ante Razov had 9 at the beginning of that season, if I'm right. Anyway, Salt Lake's been a good team. Justin Merrim is on their team. Let's go around with predictions. That's the quick recap of Salt Lake. Thomas, how you feeling about this game?
I kind of hinted at earlier. I don't know if this is going to look good for the Crew. So I, optimistically, I'm going to say another 1-1 draw with Etienne scoring the goal for Columbus. Realistically, I think it's probably going to be a 0-1 loss for the Crew.
Ralph? You had all this time to think about this. Come on.
So RSL has just been fascinating because they've had that issue with their old owner, and their old owner was kind of a piece of garbage. And then they didn't have an owner for a while when they were making that playoff run last year too, I believe. But, you know, some good results.
Now the Guardians owner is
RSL. And then they had the whole Mike Petke issue and all that stuff. Yeah. Anywho, again, I'm just running off. Why are you guys letting me run? Anywho, I think I'm with you, Thomas, and I'm sorry, Crew fans, but I think it's probably going to be a 1-0 loss, probably on some weird goal where it's, you know, an Aloy room rebound. Everybody goes, who's got it? Who's got it? Oh, it's on the back of the net. So I think it's going to be 1-0 loss. Hope I'm wrong, but it's road play in MLS, and they are 6-0-1 at Rio Tinto.
Sam?
Yeah, RSL has been in good form the last few games, and I can't really see the best result we can expect, honestly, if we're going to be realistic, is 0-0 or 1-1, like Thomas said. But I could easily see it being a 2-0 loss. So I'm going to optimistically go with a 0-0 tie.
Yeah, actually, RSL, 2 losses in their last, 2 losses in their last 5 here, but... they've got a number of wins in there. What's interesting is...
But they're playing at home, and they've been good at home.
Correct. But what's interesting, looking at just their record here, obviously they have twice as many wins as the Crew. Now, they played 2 more games. But like the Crew, they only have a plus one goal differential. So you get 8 wins, but you've only scored 20 goals and allowed 19, which is an interesting, you know, that's some narrow wins there. I'm going to be optimistic and say that the Crew get out of there with a 0-0 draw. I think this game looks a lot like the Sporting Kansas City game. I think you're right, Thomas. I don't think we see a ton of the guys come back, maybe guys off the bench. Because it's a Western Conference matchup, and we've seen Caleb before, these midweek games, if you prioritizing the Eastern Conference game. And, you know, I think the Crew have proven they can grind out games. It's the scoring that's the problem. So if you can keep RSL off the board, like I said, they've only scored 20 goals this year, which isn't a high number in 16 games. Keep RSL off the board. Get out of there with a point. I think you feel all right about it. Let's hear it, Bart.
I'm going with – I think this is going to be a tough one for Crew, obviously. RSL, we've talked about it ad nauseum, how strong they've been at home this season. And so I think, you know, Columbus goes in there and comes out with a 2-1 win, you know, stolen courtesy of Josh Williams. This time he does get it in stoppage time.
Nice.
The dagger. Look, bicycle kick, people say that's not realistic. So we'll just say a nice back heel into the bottom corner.
Okay.
Where Justin Meerham looks at him and just nods.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Do you think if he scores a stoppage time winner, like, Justin gives him a big hug?
Because? They absolutely 100% chance, regardless, those two exchange jerseys. And then I'm also going to say the opening goal is going to come from Steven Moreira. I think he's got one coming.
I think that's our first jersey swap prediction. At least in my history at the Master Report.
It's a fair jersey swap prediction.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a good one. That may be the most realistic prediction Bart's ever had on the podcast.
The next one would be some game against Colorado.
Yeah, for sure.
That's coming up.
Yeah, I may fly out there for that.
Ooh.
I don't know if I can afford it because their prices are crazy, but I'm talking about it. All right, well, we're going to get out of here because Sam has to get home to do whatever Sam does at home. And the rest of us should probably get home, too.
Play guitar.
You dick.
And
of all the instruments I do play, guitar is not one of them.
But we want to thank you for listening. Like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Listen to Brian's CD, whatever the numericals are.
CD 92.9.
There you go. 92.5. And please frequent Saucy Brewworks here at 3rd and Michigan. As we mentioned earlier, they're doing a watch party for the Crew game Saturday, but come out whenever. Coffee, beer, pizza.
One more thing. 10% off your bar tab if you wear Crew gear.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Hey.
Didn't even know that. I guess Bart's wearing Crew gear.
Yeah.
All right.
And
well,
I got 10% off.
All right. We're going to sign off. In honor of Bart. Thanks, buddies.